Thousands of people in Georgia showed up to the polls for early in-person voting yesterday. And soon voters in other states will also have the opportunity to cast their ballots in person. In light of President Trump's recent comments calling for supporters to watch voting locations to sniff out fraud, we wanted to get a better understanding of poll watching versus voter intimidation and what your rights are. And for that, we brought in Sarah Brannon, managing attorney of the ACLU's Voting Rights Project. Brannon and I started our conversation by talking about how to spot the difference between a certified poll watcher versus someone who is not certified.
So in a polling place, the poll worker will check that they have certification before they let the person stay, sit down, hang out, watch what's going on. And a certified poll watcher requires that your name has been turned over to election authorities before election day and that you have an affiliation with a party or a ballot initiative that has an issue on the ballot.
Brannon says authorized poll watchers are inside of a polling location. And they must show their certification to a polling worker before they can enter. And outside, it's perfectly legal for regular citizens to watch what's happening if they're 50 to 75 feet away from an entrance and they aren't intimidating voters. Brannon lays out what that looks like.
Voter intimidation is illegal. So I can give you some examples. It's to aggressively questioning people about their qualifications to vote, making false representations that you are an election official or making false representations about voter requirements, physically blocking a polling place, taking pictures or photographs of people coming in and out or of their cars, writing down their license plates numbers, informing people that they have to speak English because you don't have to speak English to vote in America, you know, and blocking the door, yelling at people are things that have been found to be voter intimidation over the years.
So the question is, what can you do if you feel intimidated? Brannon says voters have a lot of options, but one thing you should not do is take on the same tactics as a person you feel is intimidating you.
You should not engage in somebody who's engaged in voter intimidation. You should try your best to ignore them, but you should note and what you have observed. So we don't recommend that voters take pictures or write things, you know, or write down people's license plate numbers or things like that. Since, as I said, the courts have found that to be intimidating and we don't want people to be engaging. But you can observe what's going on. So you, as a voter, if you see it in this circumstance, you can just, you know, take some mental notes in your head of what's going on, and then you should call and report it. And you can report it to the Election Protection Hotline, which is 1-866-R-VOTE if you observe it. The other thing to do is definitely to report it to your local election officials. Go into the polling place, report it to a poll worker that's there. Most state governments and most election officials have a mechanism in place to help address voter intimidation.
You know, this will be the first election since that 1982 consent decree, which was set in place because it was believed that the Republican National Committee was actually using tactics that resulted in voter suppression. How did this decree work and what does it actually mean for this election?
I mean, I think it's important to note that in not every state, but many states in the country, it's illegal to have a firearm at a polling place, even if you have a license to carry. It was part of the consent decree from New Jersey that people were not allowed to come into polling places as poll watchers with firearms. So that was one of the different things in the consent decree. What the Republicans were doing and which was then considered to be barred by the consent decree requirements was this sort of aggressive undertaking about whether people were meeting the voting qualifications and presenting themselves in a circumstance that they were somehow formally associated with the state or local government to be doing verification of people's eligibility to vote and aggressively engaging with voters about whether they were or were not eligible to vote. And that is what the consent decree banned. One of the advantages of the consent decree was that the RNC needed to adhere to certain procedures and clear certain procedures beforehand related to their poll watching programs. And they don't need to do that this year. And so we want everyone to feel safe and we want everyone to vote. It's incredibly important that people vote. And as I said, most state governments and local governments are prepared to handle these things. But I think it is appropriate to be concerned as to whether poll watchers or people out in front of polling places will cross the line and venture into voter intimidation. And so we are keeping close watch also. We're observing. And if you have problems, we hope people will report them to the hotline.
That's Sarah Brannon, managing attorney of the ACLU's Voting Rights Project. Sarah, thank you so much.
Happy to talk to you today.